So our next storyteller is Dr. Leanna Nguyen, who's the Baltimore City Health Commissioner. Yeah. She's pretty great, and she's pretty game. I have to say, if you haven't been to a stoop before, and, you know, you're like a legitimate and like well-respected member of the community who's used to giving talks and used to, you know, giving TED Talks and all that, and someone, you know, asks you, someone such as Jessica or I asks you to, you know, come on stage and tell a personal story. And, you know, like I said, you've never been to the stoop. You just really, it's hard to know what this is until you've been here. And then of course you're like, oh yeah, I know what this is. This is what we do. But, she was incredibly game. She is incredibly game. And she's already been to two events tonight. She's kind of busy, and she is going to tell her story and then go to deal with another public health issue, because as the Baltimore City Health Commissioner, she has a lot going on. I happened to meet someone who works for her on the needle exchange van on the block when I was reporting a story, and I was just so impressed with all of the efforts down there by the City Health Department, and that's just a very small fraction of what they do under her worthy command. So please welcome Dr. Nguyen. They love you already.
Good evening, everyone. On Sunday night, 3 days ago, I talked to Laura Wexler. That was the first time that I met Laura. And I asked her a question. I asked her, can I have a podium here tonight? You see, I have notes. And I wrote out my speech. There was this long silence. Clearly, I didn't understand what Stoop Stories was about. The problem is that I did. You see, I'm used to writing out everything. That's because I'm a person who stutters. You may not hear it in my voice, and sometimes people will even ask me, are you sure you stutter? Like, I don't know that I stutter. But part of how I deal with stuttering is to script everything out. So I have some notes. I'll try not to use them. This is hard for me, but I hope you'll bear with me. Thank you. Growing up, stuttering is what I thought about all the time. My stutter was often so bad that I couldn't get out any words at all. One of my earliest memories is of going to the closet, different from what the last speaker did in the closet. But I hid in the closet during recess because I didn't want to talk to my classmates. There was a class where, and I remember this so well, where I had to talk about the Roman Empire, but I felt myself stuttering on the word Roman. And so I stabbed myself in the leg with a pencil just so that I could get sent to the nurse's office. And that piece of pencil lead is still on my thigh today. Now, I couldn't get rid of my stuttering, so I tried to hide it. Now, I knew, just like many people who stutter, we know which words will trip us up. And so I figured out ways to avoid it. So I never asked for a pencil, only something to write with. So I got lots of other stuff to write with sometimes. I never ate sandwiches because I couldn't say the word to order it. And I always did everything I could not to introduce myself, because my name, Lena, wasn't something that I could easily substitute. Over time, I became so good at hiding that people rarely heard me stutter, but they also rarely heard me speak. And I lived in fear that someday I'd be found out. I didn't have friends, not real friends, not in elementary school and not in junior high school. I went to college when I was 13, and that's another stoop story for adolescent awkward story sometime. And I wasn't as cool as that first kid who went up to talk about his Chuck E. Cheese days, so I don't know. Now, how could I have any friends, though, when I was hiding the biggest part of myself, my biggest shame? And I was so terrified of anyone finding out this deep, dark secret that I could never let anyone be close to me at all. Instead, I became a master of overcompensation. You know, I figured that all I had to do was study all the time. So I camped down in libraries. I never went out. Basically, I became the ideal Asian student. The student, the daughter, that tiger mom would have loved. But in medical school, I tried even harder to prove myself by hiding my stuttering. But things got worse and worse. Now, I can't really see you out there, but have any of you ever felt like an imposter? Okay, let's admit that we have felt like it. But I felt, you know, what if people find out that I stutter? Would they say I'm not fit to be in medical school? Would they kick me out? It was totally irrational, but it's what I believed. My parents didn't even know that I stuttered. And I thought that I needed to hide it for everyone's sake. I was actually protecting them by doing it. The only problem was that the harder I tried to hide my stuttering, the worse my speech became. Initially, it was words that started with 5 letters. Then it became 10. Then it became 15. Then I couldn't say more than half the alphabet. Can you imagine going through life not speaking half the alphabet? It took a lot of mental space to do that. But then I didn't even want to go to class anymore. I couldn't go to work. It got to the point that I physically felt sick thinking about myself, and I wanted to die. That was the first time that I sought the help of a speech therapist. And I was lucky that I found someone called Vivian, who was a really smart lady. She knew that if she said to me, okay, what you need to do is accept yourself right here, right now, that I would just run out the door. And instead she said, you know, I'm going to have some people over to my house this weekend. Why don't you come too? I remember that day really well because that was the day that my entire life changed. And it was a cold day like today. And I remember driving close to Vivian's house, circling the block, and circling the block again, trying to see who are these secret people at her house. You know, it was really cold, and finally I parked the car and was about to walk outside, but then I thought, you know, I just can't go. And I had restarted my car when someone knocked on the window. Are you going to Vivian's? He said. I had heard people stutter before, but I never heard someone stutter so easily and so comfortably, and I thought, well, maybe I should find out what that's all about. So I went in, and there in Vivian's house, I met dozens of other people, a NASA astronaut, a high school teacher, a stand-up comedian, a trial lawyer, all of whom had one thing in common. We all stuttered. There were people who openly stuttered with repetitions and blocks. There were other people who didn't sound like they stuttered, but who had just gotten really good at hiding and replacing their words, which was something that I understood really well. There were college students and there were retirees. The one thing we had in common was that we all lived through years of fear and shame, and we saw that in each other. I was 22. That was the first time that I ever felt like I belonged, where I could be who I wanted to be, say what I wanted to say, and be accepted or even praised for doing that. Then came the really hard part. I had to tell my family that I stuttered. Never mind how ridiculous this sounds, right? How is it that I felt the most terrified of telling the people who care the most about me? But it's these people whose judgment matter the most too. I couldn't quite believe it when my mother told me that She knew all these years. She's known it all my life. But she was just afraid of telling me for fear of hurting my feelings. I still find it hard to talk about stuttering. This is the second time in public that I've talked about it. I appreciate your applause, but you know, in my head, I'm still thinking, what is it that they're really thinking? You know, what will they say about this afterwards? What is going to happen on social media? And part of me still wishes that maybe I should have kept myself in the closet and closed the door and thrown away the key. But if I did that, I wouldn't have met some amazing people, really the first real friends I've ever had. I wouldn't have married my husband, who also stuttered growing up. And I wouldn't have such a clear idea of who I am, not only what you see, an Asian American, a woman, a doctor, a public health leader, but also a person who stutters. It's taken me years to see that my greatest source of shame is also the biggest part of my identity. And my job now, as you heard Laura say, I meet many people who feel that society has cast them aside. Individuals with drug addiction, who are HIV positive, who are experiencing homelessness, who have severe mental illness. Public health's primary duty and my calling in life is to reassure these people, reassure everyone that we have to leave shame at the door, that there is a place for us to belong, and that it is the duty of us in society to regard everyone with the dignity and humanity that each person deserves. Thank you very much.